Thank you so much. Tickling your funny bone. I've never been introduced like that. You guys can call me the Sri Lankan tickler. That's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Yes, for me as well. How are you doing? Are you doing well? You don't mind if I move around. I just need to stay flexible, okay? Thank you so much for praying for my back. Bit of context, rugby accident 20 years ago. Broke my tailbone, dislodged some discs. It's come back to haunt me, so would appreciate your prayers. Are you doing well? I've heard that this is a loud church, is that right? Okay, yeah. It just, as it went back, just the volume died. I said this is a loud church, is that right? The only reason why I say that is just help me preach this. The louder you are, the faster I go, all right? If you want to be here till midnight, just keep it quiet, all right? Honestly, it's an absolute privilege and an honor to be here. I love your pastors, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise. So funny. Oh my goodness. Give you a microphone. We need to hear that more often. And Pastor Rob, your voice. You need to be on every audiobook. I believe. I think that would be just peaceful. But I want to say, I've just loved to get to know you. I loved being here last September. But just even your generosity, your hospitality, opening your home to me yesterday, and just the conversation over dinner was really impacting and imparting it to me personally. So I want to say I love you. I honor you guys. Come on, why don't we honor our senior pastors here this morning? It's a beautiful church you have here. So honored to be here. And Kane and Alyssa, great friends. Love you guys as well. Newly married. Hello. Okay, we'll keep it there. It's the morning service. Got to keep it PG, you know what I'm saying? Is everyone doing good? As mentioned, my name's Jason Mendes. I'll be honest with you. I've never seen so many photos of myself in my life. So I was going to show you more photos, but not of myself, but of my family. This is a quick photo, if we have it here. A photo of my wife, Katie. If there you go. Not Jesus. Jesus is not my wife. That's my wife right there. Her name's Katie. We've been married now. How's this? 12 years today. Today. She called me this morning and said, "Happy anniversary, bro." I'm like, "What do you mean, bro?" I'm like, "I'm so sorry. Look, I'm telling you, I was prepared and planned. Obviously not as well as I thought. And so here I am on my 12-year anniversary away from my wife. That's just a lesson of what not to do, everybody. But that's my wife. In fact, it all started, if we can rewind, when we were about 12 years old. I've known her. She was my best friend. Okay, yeah, I hear the disgust in your voice. Thank you, everybody. We've been best friends since we were 11. And yeah, this was us in high school together. Every time I see this photo, I just like to praise Jesus for puberty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really are a good God. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And so what happens is when you get a bit of milk chocolate and a bit of white chocolate, bit of Cadbury Dream, and you put that together, get some Caramello Kids. And so here's a few of my kids. I got three. This is my oldest child. Her name's Anaya Grace. She's just an absolute angel, sweetheart. Her legs are going to be the death of me. Moving on, this is my youngest, my three-year-old. Her name's Ember. She looks a lot cuter than she really is. We're praying against the spirit of no sleep to come out in Jesus' name. But she is absolutely the best, runs the whole household. And then this is my son, Zion Cruz, he's five. He literally said, "Hey, Dad, take a photo of me." And I'm like, "Bro, what are you doing?" And so anyway, we're trying to teach him not to love himself so much. But he's the best. And that's my family. So three kids. And as Pastor Rob mentioned, we've been pastoring the church now. We took over that church 2 years ago from my father-in-law. And we are the fourth senior pastors in 100 years to lead that church. And so we love our church. If anyone from, I don't know, is this live streamed? It is, yep. If you're watching online, anyone from our church, we love you. We love you, Revive Church. Come on, why don't we go ahead and make some noise for my beautiful church, praying for you that God moves powerfully this morning. Our youth pastor's preaching there, actually, and so believing that God's going to do something great. When I was on the plane here, and I want to just dive straight into my message. I hope that's okay with you. When I was coming here, I really felt God make it quite clear why I was here this Sunday morning. My wife and I, we don't really take too many opportunities to preach elsewhere because we're in the middle of church planning, we're in the middle of really building culture in our church, and so we tend not to be away too often. But as I got on the plane, I really felt God say, you're not here for a roster change, you're here for a realignment. As I sat on the plane, I don't know if you're aware, but normally when you're on a plane, the pilot will put in the coordinates as to where they're going, but all it takes is to be 1 degree off, just 1 degree, initially setting off 1 degree off course can take you from one country to completely a different part, different side of the world. All it takes is to be 1 degree off and you end up in the wrong place that you never intended to go. And as I was thinking about that, I just felt like God say, you're not here for a roster change. You're not here for a change up on the weekend. No, you're here to just realign. You're here to just get that 1 degree back in alignment. And as a team was singing today, it felt really confirmed. Actually, Kane leaned over to me and said, this is exactly what we spoke about on the way in today. This is what I really believe to talk about. I want to talk about who Jesus is. I mean, we can go to church, we can be in church life, we can go to leadership meetings, we can go to Connect Group, we can go to prayer meetings, we can experience church and all of its programs, we can be in church for a long, long time and still not really know who Jesus actually is. We can know of Jesus, but do we know Jesus? Is Jesus the friend who sticks closer than a brother? Is Jesus more than just our Savior? Is He the Lord of our life? Who is Jesus to you? See, for me personally, I showed you photos of my family, but it didn't all start like that for me personally. As a young person, I was a broken young man. I was a hurting young man. I was a young man filled with pride. I had issues with lust. I had issues with anger. I had issues with fear. I was a people pleaser. I wanted to make sure that everyone loved me and everyone cared for me and I was on good terms with everyone. I had all these problems. I was looking for love and affirmation in all the wrong places, but that man, Jesus got a hold of my life and He gave me purpose. He transformed me. He changed me from the inside out. He gave me a meaning, gave me identity, gave me a future. And the same thing He did for me, He can do for you. Jesus can change your life. I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is not did Jesus exist, but who is Jesus to you? Because to be honest, the world agrees that Jesus exists. There is stats, there is facts, there are stories, there is historical proof that Jesus walked the earth. So it's not, did Jesus exist? The question is, who is Jesus to you? You might have walked into this church one way, but can I tell you, the one question you have to ask yourself today is, who is Jesus to be? It's the most important question you'll ever ask, because one day when we stand before our Maker, one day when we get to the end of our life, we need to honestly ask ourselves, did we really know Jesus? You know, there's a quote, I know you're in church, but I want to start today with a quote from an atheist agnostic. You're like, are we really in church? Yeah. I want to show you what the world really believes about Jesus. It's a doctor. His name's Bart D. Ehrman. He's an agnostic atheist philosopher. This is what he says. He says, I think the evidence is just so overwhelming that Jesus existed that it's silly to talk about Him not existing. I don't know anyone who is a responsible historian who's actually trained in the historical method or anybody who is a biblical scholar who does this for a living, who gives any credence at all to any of this. This is a non-believer, this is an agnostic atheist who says, no, Jesus definitely existed. There's no legitimate philosopher, no legitimate historian, no legitimate thinker that can ever argue that Jesus did not exist. So can I tell you, the world knows that He exists, yet I think sometimes we come to church and we just know that Jesus exists. We just know that He's around, we know that He's there, but can I ask you the question, is there a deeper relationship that you have with Jesus? Do you know Him closer than that? Do you just know of Him or do you know Him in here? today God wants to, I really believe, bring to light who Jesus truly is. I love it. Jesus actually said this about himself in John 14, verse 6. And we're going to park ourselves in this one scripture. The Bible says that Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the..." Come on, you can do better than that. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus made this claim. I'm the only way. If you die and you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have eternal life, the only way is through Jesus. Now, apparently in today's day and age, that is a politically incorrect statement to make. But the truth is, biblically, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." An author named C.S. Lewis, some of you may have heard of him. I think all of us may have heard of him. Hands up, who's heard of C.S. Lewis? Give me a quick wave, all right? You know, he's written things like The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, all of the great white movies of all time. And so he authored those books and incredible movies. And so he framed it like this. And I won't read his quote, but C.S. Lewis essentially says, Jesus is one of three things to you. He's either a liar, he's either a lunatic, or he's Lord. He's one of those three things. So for each of us today, you all have a decision. For those of you watching online today, you all have a decision. Is Jesus a liar? Is Jesus a lunatic? Or is he the Lord? You're all gonna walk out of this place with Jesus being one of those three things. Jesus is either a liar to you, he's made up all of these things, he's either a lunatic, someone who was crazy, who walked this earth, made these incredible claims, or he's genuinely the Son of God, he's the Savior of the earth, he's the hope of humanity, and he's the Lord of your life. He's one of those three things. So if I can just really quickly go through, this is not my message, but let me just go through these just to kind of debunk things. Let's start with this concept of a liar. Is Jesus a liar? We can put that slide up if that's okay. Is Jesus a liar? Well, if we look at things, Jesus actually fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his lifetime. 300 prophecies. And our prophecy is something that in the past, someone had said something about the future. And in Jesus's life, he fulfilled not just one, not just two, but 300. Now you look at me like, that's not impressive. I don't know what's happening, Mackay, but that is impressive, right? I'll give you the probability. The probability of anyone fulfilling 8 prophecies is 1 in the 10 to the power of 17. That's 17 zeros, okay? Not impressive, let me break that down. If you were to get England and Ireland and put them together, these two countries, if you were to fill them with 5-cent coins, all the way up to a meter high, I would then blindfold you, drop you in the middle randomly in anywhere in that spot. The chances of you digging through and finding a marked 5-cent piece coin over that entire area, that's the same probability that Jesus had of fulfilling 8. This is a very highly impressive town, okay? I see that this does not... I mean, that is incredible. That is ridiculous. How does someone do it? That's only 8 prophecies. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies. So to say that he's a liar, to say that all of these things are made up, you kind of question it and go, hang on, what's going on here? In fact, Christian, secular, Roman, and Judaic proof all points to the fact that Jesus existed. So I think it's fair to say, all right, liar, that's a bit of a stretch. Let's go to lunatic. Was Jesus a lunatic? He would say things like, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. You need to drink my blood and eat my flesh. There's all these crazy things that Jesus would say. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you want eternal life, you can only get it through me. So was Jesus a lunatic? Well, a lot of Jesus' teaching was built around morality. He preached a lot about doing what is right. Do unto others that as you would have them do unto you. If someone hits you, well, turn the other cheek. So Jesus' teaching was not a teaching of a lunatic, someone who was crazy, but his teaching actually has guided a lot of our moral law and our Western law today. So Jesus could not be a lunatic. I mean, let's just face facts here. There's over 2 billion people that follow Jesus across Christianity and Catholicism across the earth. If Jesus was a lunatic, then so are all of us, right? So is Jesus a lunatic? I don't think so. So lie we can rule out, lunatic we can rule out. So maybe the question is, he must be Lord. He must be. He's one of these three things. Love what Charles Spurgeon, one of the great revivalists, said. He said this. He said, if Christ be anything, he must be everything. If Christ is anything to you, and this is what I want you to catch today. If Christ is anything to you, if Jesus is anything to you, let him be everything. Let him be everything that you need, everything that you're looking for, everything that you desire, everything that you pursue. If you can shift, if you can just have that one degree back in line, making Jesus the center of your life, making him everything that you follow, everything that your life's about, everything that your heart desires. If you can make Jesus your everything, can I tell you, your life would change, your life would shift, you would find purpose, you would find wholeness, you would find healing, you would find freedom. You'd find identity. God would do something so great in your life if you could make Jesus your everything. So if you're writing down notes today, that's the title of my message. Jesus is everything. So let's unpack it today. Can we do that? Is that okay? So Father God, I pray right now you would speak through me, God, to this incredible church. Lord, bless this community, bless these people. Lord, open up our hearts to receive you. Let us have good hearts, God, good soil for good seed to sow in. Lord, change us from the inside out in Jesus' name. Come on, and everyone said, yeah. Come on, everyone said, yeah. First point, write this down. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. In a world that's lost its way, Jesus is the way. Has the world lost its way? I think so. People have lost their way. So confusing. There's so much going on, so much noise, so much media, so many stories, so many things, so many this, so many opinions flying around. The world seems to have lost its way, but in a world that's lost its way, Jesus says, hey, I'm the way. I'm the way. If you're looking for a way to follow, if you're looking for a path to follow, if you're looking for someone to follow, can I give you some advice? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He's worth the follow. He's worth the likes. He's worth the follow. The truth is, Jesus actually eliminates every other way. And he says, there's only one way. And you know, for us these days, that upsets us. Because we don't want one way. We want many ways. We don't like one thing. We want options. Can I give you an example? When I take my kids and we go and get them fast food on a rare occasion, there's a place in Sydney on Parramatta, a place called Parramatta Road. I call it the Bermuda Triangle. It's got KFC, Hungry Jack's and McDonald's all in the one. It's like if you get in there, you get lost. It's a dangerous place to be, right? And so my kids will say, hey, Dad, can we get a burger from Hungry Jack's? Can we get nuggets from McDonald's? Nuggets from KFC, because we all know that those are better. And then can we get ice cream from McDonald's? Now, I don't know about you, but I've fed into this problem. Because the truth is, the burgers really are better at Hungry Jack's. Like that's just, it's just the truth, right? The nuggets, the chicken, oh my gosh, KFC, can you go past it? No. Hot and spicy, wicked wings. Wow, Lord, help me. And then the ice cream at McDonald's, I don't know what they put in there, but I want it. You know, I just give me the nozzle. Like, you know, I'm down. And so my kids now have this mentality of let's go to one each and we'll get a burger from here. And I'm like, no. There's not many options, guys. There's only one way. There's only one restaurant that we're going to. That's it. Make the decision. I mean, all we need to do is go up the road, go up to the shops. And as we go to the shops, you go buy some milk. You know, one of the most challenging things in life is when your wife says, hey, can you go pick up some milk? Because you go to the milk and now there's full cream milk. Light milk, A2 milk, B1 milk, B2 milk, light milk, 10% fat milk, 3% milk, almond milk. Almond milk? What's, is, are we, are we, are we, Are we milking? I don't know, how do you get milk from almonds? But there's almond milk, there's goat milk, there's cow's milk, there's sheep's milk. I mean, there is 400 types of milk. What milk do you want me to get? I don't know. I mean, we are so geared for options. We need options. We don't like just one. I mean, what happened to just good old full cream, 130% fat milk? You know, that's what I want, flavor. I don't want to eat to survive. I need love in my cooking. You know what I'm saying? I need love. What happened to just the one choice? Am I talking to anyone today? We are so geared for options that we don't like one way. And when it comes to our faith, we actually treat it the same way. We don't want just one way. We want multiple ways. All right, we don't want to get real here. Is that? Come on, am I talking to you today? Am I making some sense here? You know, it's like the kebab shop. Anyone been to the kebab shop? Come on, don't lie to me. Show some hands here. Confession session. I don't know what it is. Kebab shops, Caneland kebab shop. Is that the top notch one over here? No. Okay, it's arguable. When you get to the kebab shop, they have these white paper bags, and inside of the paper bag is an aluminium foil. You know what I'm talking about? But on the outside of it, you can get a pen and you can pick the things that you want. So here's some advice for you. Mixed kebab, extra meat, a little bit of lettuce, a little bit of onion, and the Holy Trinity, chili, garlic, onion. Sorry, chili, garlic, barbecue. That's the one. Chili, garlic, barbecue, the trinity of sauces. Just honestly, if you miss that, go back, watch the live stream, write it down, go and order it. You'll thank me later, okay? And so what we do is we go to the kebab shop and we make our selections, and then the incredible chef behind the counter will make us our kebab exactly the way we like it. And the funny thing is, that's exactly how we like Jesus. I'll get Jesus like this. I'll get a bit of this. I'll get a bit of that. I'll take the healing. Healing? Yeah, I love healing. Oh, blessing? Yes, I'm in for that. Favor? Great. Connect groups? I need some community. I'll have a bit of that. Oh, you mean I can get up and sing like a weapon? Incredible voice, by the way, right? I can work my gift and people can hear me sing. This is awesome. I'll take a bit of that. But Lord of my life? I don't want a bit of that. King of my heart? I don't want that. Oh, person guiding my steps? No thanks. And we pick and choose the Jesus that we want. I flew all the way up from Sydney to tell you today, Jesus is not a kebab. He is not this, I'll take this and I'll have a bit of that. No. When you get Jesus, you get all of him. You get the savior of your life. You get the healer. You get the deliverer. But you also get the king of your heart. You get the one who sits on the throne. You get the one who is the Lord of your life. See, for us, we like Savior Jesus. We want Jesus to save us when we're going through a hard time. It's like, I'm struggling right now. I need Jesus to save me. And we want Jesus who pulls us out of the mess. The way I'll say it like this is, we like Jesus on a cross, but we don't like him on a throne. Oh, it's two different things. Yeah, yes, he is my savior. Yes, he pulled me out from the mess that I was in, the broken man I used to be. God saved me and he pulled me out and he cleaned me up and he gave me purpose and gave me vision and gave me a future. Yes, he does all of that. But can I also tell you that he's the Lord of your life? He guides you, he corrects you, he makes you walk in the straight path of righteousness. God has called us and he changes us and he molds us and he shapes us, but we need to allow him not just to be savior, but also Lord of our life. Can someone say amen? It's funny, the one thing about Jesus, the one catch with Jesus, because yes, he's your savior. Yes, it's as simple as just saying, Lord, I need you. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. That's all you need to do. You need to say, yes, you are Lord, and I believe that you were raised from the dead. That's all. The Bible says you are saved. It's the Bible also says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, it's that simple to be saved. But the catch with Jesus is that if you want Jesus, then Jesus has to have you. It's like, God, I'm all in to follow you. It's my whole life. Everything that I have, I'm choosing you. If Jesus wants you, he's got to have you. There is only one gate. There is only one way. There is only one path. And often we get upset by that. But can I encourage you? Don't get upset that there is an ultimatum. God's not giving you an ultimatum. Be thankful that God gave you a lifeline. Be thankful that God actually made a way and said, hey, there's a way and it's Jesus. Can someone say amen to that? Number one, Jesus is the way. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Is this helping anyone today? Number one, he's the way, he's the only way. But number two, Jesus is the truth. Can I encourage you to realign today? Jesus is the truth. In a world that's lost its truth, Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. He's truth. I don't know about you, but I've found that things are so confusing right now. I'm raising three kids in Sydney. I sent them to school. Our kids are talking about all kinds of things. Transgender, sexuality. I'm talking about as young as kindergarten, they're talking about this stuff. They're open, their lives and their world is open to an array of crazy things. So what is truth today? What's true? What's real? The world tells you to live your truth. Anyone heard that before? Live your truth. What does that mean? What does it mean to live your truth? Because if you're living your truth and then I'm living my truth and our lives are very different, then you have a truth, I have a truth, you have a truth, they have a truth. What's actually true? What is true? What is right? What is honest? What is black and white truth? See, Jesus actually says that he is the truth. A guy named Charles Taylor, he says that we're the first culture in history that tell ourselves who we are. Yet in the same breath, we're the first culture in history to have the most fragile identities. So here we are telling ourselves who we are. We don't want to hear from anyone. I mean, way back when, generations past, your parents would tell you who you were, community would tell you who you were, religion would tell you who you were, and then that would be the indicator of who you were called and what success would be. But now, we don't want to hear from anyone about who we are. We need to tell ourselves who we are. No, this is who I am. This is what my identity is. This is who I want to love. Our kids are more confused about who they love. They're more confused about who they need to be. They're more confused about who they are. And Jesus the whole time is saying, I'm the truth. You might be hearing their truth and your truth. I mean, the world is constantly telling you, live your truth. Do what makes you feel happy. Do what makes you feel comfortable. Do the things that you want to do. Do you. Care about yourself. Take care of yourself. The world will constantly tell you that. The world says, live your truth. But Jesus says, I am the truth. And so we need a new compass. The issue is, we live our life based off our feelings, and our feelings determine our truth. But who knows that our feelings aren't always the truth? I can feel flat, I can feel tired, I can feel run down, but it doesn't mean that that is the truth of who God has called me to be. So we live our life based on our feelings, but our feelings are constantly up and down. There are days when I feel great. There are days when I feel down. There are days when I'm on a mountaintop. There are days where I'm in a valley. There are days where things are awesome. There are days when things are hard. And so if I live my truth based off my feelings, well, I'm constantly gonna be on a roller coaster. But if I base my faith on the word of God, on the truth, on the scripture, then instead of living life on an emotional roller coaster, I can live my life steady and constant and stable. Why? Because his truth never fails, his truth never fades, his truth is the rock that we can build our lives on. He's faithful, he's just, he's good, and he never changes. Stop living to what the world standards say, but we need to start living to the truth that God has called us to live. Who remembers that song, Listen to Your Heart? Sometimes I switch in and out, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Listen to Your Heart? Oh, come on, don't be embarrassed. Don't make me make you sing it. Are we gonna sing it? Can we sing it in church? Is that okay? I don't know, let's go, we're gonna go there. Listen to your heart, hey, cause he's calling for you. Listen to your heart. No one's gonna help me, just gonna make me solo. For nothing else you can do. I don't know where you're going.
doing, and I don't know why. Listen to your heart before he says goodbye.
Come on, give yourselves a round of applause. Fantastic. Thank you for the one light that came out there. Made me feel like, who was it, Delta Goodrum? I don't even know. Listen to your heart. Can I tell you, don't listen to your heart. What a crazy song. Like, your heart will make you do the craziest thing, to make you fall in love with someone that doesn't even love you. Can I go there? Come on, your heart will make you angry. Your heart will fill you with hate and frustration. Your heart will fill you with unforgiveness. Right? Your heart will fill you with things that are not of God. Your heart will make you want to do things that you shouldn't do. Your heart, the Bible in Matthew 15, 19, the Bible says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Jeremiah 17, 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's beyond cure. The heart will make you go sleep with someone that you didn't want to sleep with. Your heart will make you love someone that doesn't love you back. Your heart will fill you with frustration and anger. Stop listening to your heart. Start listening to Jesus. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. How's that for advice? We spent all of our time following our feelings and following our heart. But I think today I want to encourage you today. Jesus is the way and he's the truth. Today, don't listen to the heart. It's deceitful. It tells us lies, but follow Jesus. He is truth. He tells you truth. He's for you. He's not against you. Don't follow your heart, but follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but it reminds me we're in need of a different compass. We need a different compass. We need something to tell us what is right. If you're living your truth and I'm living my truth and you're doing what makes you happy, but it doesn't make me happy, and they're living what makes them happy and I'm living what makes me happy, and we're at conflict and we're fighting and we're frustrated. Isn't it interesting that everyone is living their truth, but the world's so divided? There's so much division in the world right now, but everyone's living their truth. We need a new compass. If only there was a compass. If only there was something that told us what's right and what's wrong. If only there was something that told us the difference between good and evil. If only there was something that told us this is how to live your life. If only there, hang on, there is. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus. His life is truth. He is the truth. It's time that we followed him instead of following our feelings and following our heart. Is this helping you today? Number one, Jesus is the way. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Again, my heart today is to realign you back to Jesus, realign you back to the truth today. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth. And finally, you know this already. Number three, Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. He's the life. Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. John 10:10, the Bible says this, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I came to bring you life and life in abundance, life and have it to the full. I've heard so many young people tell me, I've seen it all over social media, living my best life. Anyone ever heard that before? Hey man, how you doing? Living my best life. Living your best life. Cool. Hey, how's things? How's work? Man, live my best life. They take a photo. They're out there in Mackay, you know, feet crossed, sunset going down. Living my best life with your toes hanging out. It's like, bro, put some clothes shoes on, all right? Help everyone on your social media. Living my best life. Your toes aren't. No, I'm joking. Okay, I got to stop. Living my best life. Out here in Sydney, on my Instagram stories, man, just living my best life. On my way to work, 5 a.m, right? I got to work a 30-hour day, right? But living my best life. Isn't it funny how people just lie on social media? You know what I mean? It's like they hate their work, they hate their job, they hate what they're doing. But it's like, for social media, living my best life. We're all out here living our best life, working in things that we don't want to be working in, frustrated, disappointed,
It's funny, like you could try to get a photo with your kids and you've just spent 4 years yelling at them. Like, stop what you're doing. Everyone put your toys down, put your clothes on and smile. Live my best life, right? You had that just that window. Now you told the world that you're living your best life. We're constantly trying to impress others with the life, the best life that we're living, apparently. But really on the inside, we feel like we're drowning. We feel overwhelmed, disappointed, frustrated, anxious, depressed. Anyone know what I'm talking about? But we're living our best life. Is our best life looking through social media, trying to get as many likes as we want because there's a need that we're trying to fill on the inside of? Is that really the best life that we're called to live? Is our best life the career, the promotion, the money, the job, the corporate ladder, the business going successful? Is our best life our wife, our kids, the picket fence, the dream home in Mackay? Is that our best life? Is our best life trying to serve in ministry and get to church every week and get to connect groups every week? Is that really our best life? Is our best life working 9 to 5 every single day, going home, watching Home and Away, and then eating spaghetti and meatballs for dinner, and then going home, going to work the next day and doing the same thing over and over again? Is that really our best life? Because the Bible tells me that Jesus came to give you a life, to give you real life. The reason that Jesus came was not to give you an easy life. He came to give you eternal life. Eternal life, a life forever with Him. That is the real life that we read about. When the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came to give you life. The life we're talking about is eternity. It's a life with Him. It's a life in relationship with God. He didn't come to just only take away the pain. Of course, at one point, when we die and go to heaven and we're there with our Maker, there's a place that there will be no weeping, no crying, no pain, no hurt. That's going to be this incredible place. But while we're here on earth, I want to encourage you. Jesus came to give you life and life to its fullest. Jesus didn't die to give you a promotion at work, didn't die to give you the house that you want, give you the car that you want. He didn't die just to make your life a little bit easy. He didn't die so you wouldn't experience pain or hurt. He died so that you would be free from pain. He died so that you'd be free from death. Real life, eternal life with Him. That's the life that Jesus came to give you. The truth is, often we follow Jesus for what He can give us, for what we can get from Him. Oh, I'm gonna go to church so that I can find favor with God. I'm gonna give into the offering so that God would bless my life. I'm gonna serve at church so that I'll have people that can serve me in my world. And so often we treat Jesus with this transaction. But I came to tell you, your relationship with God is so much more than that. Jesus didn't die just for a transaction. No, no, no. Jesus died to give you life, to give you hope, to give you purpose, to give you a future, to give you destiny, to give you real and eternal life. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. If I can ask the band to come up and join me as we finish up this message today. Come on, can you say that with me today? Number one, Jesus is the... Come on, Jesus, number two is the... And number three, Jesus is the... Come on, say it like you mean it today. Number one, Jesus is the... Jesus is the... And Jesus is the... He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. See, a lot of us spend our lives looking for answers, looking for purpose, looking for affirmation. Like me, as a young boy, as a young man, trying to find my affirmation in other people. Trying to find purpose in relationships. Trying to find hope in what people thought of me. The truth is, what I needed the whole time was in front of me. It's Jesus. Jesus
is everything that you need. Whatever you're looking for, catch this, church, Jesus has. If you need healing, you can find it in Jesus. If you need purpose, you can find it in Jesus. If you need affirmation, you can find it in Jesus. If you need correction in identity, you can find it in Jesus. If you need to be restored, you can find it in Jesus. Whatever you were looking for, you can find it in Jesus. Are you looking for joy? You can find it in Jesus. Are you looking for peace? You can find it in Jesus. Are you looking for healing? You can find it in Jesus. I'm looking for healing. Just then, thank you so much for praying for me. But I'm still believing that God can touch my body. Like you, I'm going to Jesus. I'm saying, God, I need you to heal my body. Everything that you need, you can find in him. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is everything that you need and everything that you're looking for. In fact, the word of God, the scripture, it reminds us that Jesus is everything that you need. Every word, every chapter, every verse, every book, every page, everything in that Bible points to one man. It points to Jesus. In Genesis, he's the substitute sacrifice. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. We're going to put these up on the screen. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's our protection. In Joshua, he's our leader. In Judges, he's our judge. In Ruth, he's our redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the great prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's the reigning king. 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's the glorious temple. In Ezra, he's our restoration. In Nehemiah, he's our rebuilder. In Esther, he's our defender. In Job, he's our constant. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs, he's the wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, he's the meaning of life. Songs of Solomon, he's the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the innocent sacrifice. In Jeremiah, he's our righteousness. In Lamentations, he's the compassion of God. In Ezekiel, he's the life to dry bones. In Daniel, he's the one that's yet to come. Hosea, he's the faithful partner. In Joel, he's the baptizer. In Amos, he's the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty savior. Jonah, he's the forgiver. In Micah, he's the messenger. In Nahum, he's the avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the anointed one. In Zephaniah, he's the restorer. In Haggai, he's the purifier. Zechariah, he's the pierced son. In Malachi, his hope. Are you catching what I'm saying today? This is Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. Can I keep going? In Matthew, he's the Messiah. Mark, he's the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the ascended Lord. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's the first fruits on our behalf. In Galatians, he's our freedom. In Ephesians, he's the cornerstone. In Philippians, he's the name above all names. In Colossians, he's the fullness of God. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's the second coming king. In the 1st and 2nd Timothy, he's the mediator. In Titus, he's our hope. In Philemon, he's our friend. In Hebrews, he's the author and the finisher. In James, he's the healer. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's the living stone. In 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, he's everlasting love. In Jude, he's our Savior. In Revelations, he's the King of Kings. Come on, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is everything that you need. Do you need a protector? Jesus is your protector. If you need hope, he's your everlasting hope. If you need peace, he's the Prince of Peace. If you need a Lord, he's the Lord of Lords. Everything that you need, you can find in him. Everything you're looking for. Everything you're looking for. Everything you're looking for. Are you looking for love? He's love. Are you looking for mercy? He's merciful. Are you looking for forgiveness? He's forgiveness. He's forgiving. He loves you. He cares for you. Today I came to tell you that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Jesus is everything. Everything that you need. So come on, if we could just stand across this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Worship you, Jesus. I want to talk to two people today. The first group of people I want to talk to is, you might be here for your first time. You might not know who Jesus is, and that's okay. But as I said at the start, is either a liar, he's the Lord. Sorry, lunatic or Lord. Which one is he to you today? He could just be a historical figure that walked around the earth. Or today you could walk out of this place with him as the Lord and the Savior of your life. Today, don't make a decision. Don't leave this place without making a decision to follow Jesus. He's everything that you need. What you're looking for, he has. And he has it in abundance. Just with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe just our ministry team looking around today. If that's you and you say, I need to get my life right with Jesus. I need to make him the Lord and the Savior of my life. If that's you today, could I just ask you right where you stand? Could I just ask you to lift your hand just so I can pray a prayer with you right where you are? Yeah, awesome. I see your hand. Yeah, I see your hand down here in the front. Anyone else? Yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. See your hand. Yeah, see your hand. Anyone else? Just keep your hand raised. It's okay. You're with family today. Just keep your hand raised. Yeah, awesome. I see your hand down here on the side. Yeah, down here in the front. Just keep your hands raised. Wow. So many people saying, I need to get my life right with Jesus. Just keep your hand raised. Yeah, I see your hand there. Beautiful. He's the Lord of my life. I need to get this right. I need to get my relationship with him right. Today I'm choosing to give my life to him. Anyone else? Yeah, awesome. I see your hand, my man. Anyone else want to make that decision to follow Jesus today? Make him front and center. Make him everything in your life. Just keep your hand raised up high. Beautiful. Awesome, awesome. Awesome, you can put your hand down. I'm gonna pray this prayer. In fact, everyone in this room is gonna repeat this prayer. I'm gonna talk to the second group of people in a moment. But we're all gonna repeat this prayer. And essentially this prayer just says, you know what, I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I recognize that I've fallen short. And I need Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. And it's a prayer that just says, I'm choosing to follow him. So as I lead this prayer, everyone here is going to repeat it. But for those of you, the many of you who raised your hands today, I want you to mean it with your heart. It's a powerful moment. The Bible says that those who pray this prayer, heaven rejoices. There's a party going on in heaven right now for those of you who prayed that prayer. And after that prayer, we're all going to celebrate. We're going to cheer and celebrate the decision and the prayer that you prayed. For those of you who lifted your hands, just repeat this prayer after me. Say this. Say, Dear Jesus. Come on, just say it like you mean it. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes, but today I choose you. I choose to follow you. I confess you as Lord. Now I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. Would you lead me? Would you guide me, I pray. Thank you for saving me from sin. I give my life to you. And I follow you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate all of those people who prayed that prayer? Amazing. So good. For those of you who did pray that prayer, at some point at the end of the service, someone will jump up, give you some instruction and tell you what to do with the prayer that you prayed. So just be ready for that. The second group of people, I don't want to take up too much more time, but the second group of people really simply is this. I want you to think about that plane illustration I shared at the start of this session. For some of us here, you've walked with Jesus and you've been in church and you would call yourself a Christian. But just along the way, things have maybe been one degree off course. He's been Savior, but maybe he hasn't been Lord. You've lived your life and I'm not saying you're not a Christian. Yes, you follow Jesus, you love Jesus. And church is a priority and you're at Connect Group and you're at youth on a Friday or whatever it is that you do. But you wouldn't say just over that time, just over time, over life, just as trials have come, you just lost a bit of focus. Just things have drifted a little bit. Today, I really sense to remind you today, God wants to realign you back to his call, realign you back to his purpose, realign you back to his heart, realign you back to relationship with him. Today is the day that you reset and say, God, I'm ready to start fresh. I'm ready to start again. I don't know. Are we able to bring people forward? Is that okay? If that's you today, can I ask you, I want you to do something brave. This is not you saying, I'm not a Christian. No. This is you saying, God, I'm all in for you. I'm all in for you. I'm not looking back. I might have gone a decree off, but today I'm all in. I'm following you. I'm all in with your plan. I'm all in with your purpose. I'm giving my heart back over to you again. God, use me. Have your way with me in Jesus' name. If that's you, as the team sings, can I ask you, come down the front. Let's fill this place with hearts surrendered, hearts open. I love what Pastor Denise shared. Hearts awakened today in Jesus' name. Come on, team. Can you lead us? Come on, as they sing, can you just come? Can you fill this place? And let's just give our hearts to Jesus again. Awesome. Come, come, come. Right wherever you are. Let me pray for you as well as you come. Thank you, team. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, as you come, just lift your hands.